This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to the basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Staples, and today we're just going to do a quick... This is going to be a quick one-segment deal where I'm going to address the question of whether Jimbo Fisher would actually consider, say, the Southern Cal job or some of these other jobs that are opening at present in what is, at this point, maybe the most interesting job cycle that we'll have seen in quite a while. Now, first things first, I don't think even the most insecure Florida State fans are concerned about Jimbo Fisher going to Maryland or Illinois or Minnesota or UCF or Virginia Tech. Those jobs are clearly not as good a jobs as Florida State. Even Miami, Miami is nowhere close to as good a job as Florida State. Florida State has access to the same kind of talent that Miami can get, but without all of the problems that Miami has in terms of dysfunctional administration. Florida State has had its own problems with dysfunctional administration at times, given, granted that, but not the same kinds of problems they've had at Miami. And particularly, Miami is dirt poor when it comes to playing big boy football. And Jimbo's not going to go anywhere where he has to play from behind at that level. So the only job right now on the market that's even close to on par with Florida State is that Southern Cal job. And that includes the South Carolina job. A lot of people are out there talking about the South Carolina job as a great job, and it's just not. The South Carolina job is maybe the fourth best job in its own division. And that's assuming that it's a better job than the Missouri job, which is not clear. Because that Missouri job, South Carolina, let's put it this way. South Carolina is never going to be above Florida or Georgia in the pecking order in the SEC East. Never. We could go another two decades of South Carolina having a great coach, a great staff, and those two programs being in total disarray. And those two programs, as soon as they hire anyone who's competent, are immediately going to jump ahead of South Carolina, no matter what. And it's just a matter of what states they're in and the branding of those programs and the access to talent. So right there, it's automatically behind Florida and Georgia, who are always going, you're always going to be playing from behind. You're always going to be trying to catch up to those two programs. And then you add Tennessee to that, and Tennessee has a lot of advantages that South Carolina will never have as well. Neither South Carolina nor Tennessee are great talent producing states, but both have to dip into Georgia and Florida and the Carolinas and such in North Carolina to pull in some other additional talent. But Tennessee is much better positioned to pull quality talent from North Georgia in particular. And then also moving over into the Memphis area and some of those areas that actually do have more talent than a lot of the areas that are more home areas for South Carolina. And Tennessee does not have a Clemson in their own state. Clemson historically has beaten the brains out of South Carolina. And if you go to those two schools and you look around at the facilities, you look around at the campuses and so on, when it comes down to it, if all things are equal, odds are you're going to Clemson. And yes, okay, the SEC branding, yes, some kids are going to be swayed by the SEC branding. But first of all, I'm not sure how long the SEC brand is going to have that much strength over some of the marquee ACC brands in terms of Florida State, Miami, Clemson, and really North Carolina in terms of national brands have the ability to compete with any SEC brand. I mean, when Miami has competent people running things down there, nobody can recruit South Florida quite like Miami. I mean, they don't have to leave a 100-mile radius to fill most of their roster with players that just about every other FBS team and every other Power 5 team would want. So in terms of brand, they're still strong, even though they've got all sorts of other disadvantages. Florida State can recruit with anybody. And Clemson has historically held an advantage over South Carolina. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the series there is something like Clemson 60 and South Carolina's in the 20s. So, I mean, you're not even the number one program in that regard in your own state. And you're at best number four in the SEC East. And I think you can make a case, at least you could before this week's really, really, if you're thinking about it from a football perspective, bad press for recruiting at Missouri. Missouri has historically been positioned maybe a little bit ahead of where South Carolina is. They're both in the SEC East at this point, and Missouri has always had access to that those fertile St. Louis and Chicago areas where they've always had sort of institutional connections to those areas, as well as Memphis and the ability to dip into Texas and some of those other areas. In a lot of ways, Missouri is a better coaching job than South Carolina. So that one's certainly out. I mean, that's not even, and one other way to put this. If you are a young head coaching candidate or a top head coaching candidate, and you're thinking about possible openings, and South Carolina comes open, one of the things you're going to look at is you're going to go, they've had two Hall of Fame coaches there in a row. Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier. Two of the best coaches of their era. So for almost two decades, South Carolina has had a Hall of Fame coach, a top-level coach, and they've won one division title in those two decades and never were able to win the SEC. That added up to all of two 11-win seasons and one division title with Hall of Fame coaches there. Now, yes, if you are a top-level coaching candidate, odds are you are a pretty confident guy, and you believe that you can win just about anywhere. But even those guys are going to look at that and go, am I really going to do better at South Carolina than Steve Spurrier did? And even Spurrier's success coincided with Clemson struggling a little bit, with Florida being way down. When South Carolina had their most success, Florida was down. Tennessee being at a historic low for that program, coming off of the Fulmer years. So, and those two programs, by the way, Tennessee and South Carolina cannot both be up at the same time. One is going to have success at the expense of the other. So you're looking at Tennessee potentially rising a little bit. You're looking at the addition of Missouri to that division. And you're going, can I really do better than Steve Spurrier did? And Spurrier did what he did with a generational class, recruiting class, out of the state of South Carolina, with Jadeveon Clowney and LaMarcus and Marcus Lattimore. You know, those guys. There were a series of guys that came out of the state of South Carolina that then stayed in state. It was a couple of the best recruiting years in the state of South Carolina that had been seen in recent memory, and most of those guys went to South Carolina over those couple of years, and it coincided with Tennessee being down and some other things, and it turned into the best success that program has ever had. So if you're a coach and you think about going to South Carolina, you realize that that's probably your ceiling. Maybe winning a division title if the marquee teams in your division are down. So that's not even a good job. It's toward the bottom of the Power Five jobs, and it's, you know, maybe ninth or tenth in the SEC. And again, if you're a head coaching candidate, the fact that a program is in the SEC isn't necessarily a selling point unless they're one of the top programs in the SEC. If you're not in the top half of your own conference as a job, that's not necessarily an attractive job. Now, if you're hoping to go there and you recognize that you may lose and be out in 4 years, but you've just made, if you just want to make sure you can make that money right away, then that may be the reason that you go to a place like that. And of course, you know, again, got guys that are confident. But in today's game, with the amount of money that is being paid at places like Houston, I mean, if you look at how much Houston's paying, I think Houston's paying $3 million a year, over $3 million a year for Tom Herman. Why would Tom Herman, who's had a lot of success already at Houston, why would Tom Herman leave $3-plus million a year at Houston to go make $4 million a year at South Carolina and fail? Yes, the money is a little bit better, but if I'm playing the long game as one of these coaching candidates, if I'm one of those guys, then I'm looking at this going, you know, if I stay another year here at Houston, I can continue to have some success and my star stays bright, and eventually maybe Texas opens. Maybe one of the marquee SEC posts that is actually an attractive job opens. So maybe I take $1 million less this year to get to a place where I can make maybe even a little bit more money. You know, I'll take $4.5 million a year at a place like Georgia or you know, even more than that at a place like Texas and have a chance to win long term. So, you know, you sacrifice a little bit in the present, although sacrificing to make $3 million a year, I mean, we all could have such difficult sacrifices to make, is probably the right play for a lot of those coaches. Now, the one exception here, and this is a guy who I actually think is going to wind up at South Carolina most likely, is a guy like Fuente at Memphis. Because Memphis is right now, they're in the middle of a one-loss season, including a win over Ole Miss. His star is probably not going to get any brighter. And it's certainly not going to help that he's losing his generational quarterback after this year. They're not going to be a one-loss team next year. His status is very much tied to having developed a very good NFL caliber quarterback at that mid-major. And he needs to go somewhere after this year, and he's going to recognize that. So odds are, he's a guy like him, if he can't get one of the bigger jobs, one of the more attractive jobs, winds up at a place like South Carolina because he's not making that kind of money, and he can go ahead and take that kind of money at a place like South Carolina, recognizing that odds are that's kind of a dead-end job for him given its ceiling. So that kind of job is out. So really right now, and really right now, the only job that would even be a consideration that's on the market right now is Southern Cal. Now, I've long said that Southern Cal is one of the four best jobs in the country. And I'm going to have more discussion of jobs and their quality a little bit later this year. This is just a quick sort of discussion of what whether Jimbo Fisher would consider this sort of thing, but I'm gonna discuss a little bit more about how coaches think about job openings and so on a little bit later this year. But that Southern Cal job is a top five job, top four job, for a couple reasons. One is when you are a coach, there are two main concerns that you have when you're thinking about a job. You can really boil everything else down to two things. Number one, and these two things can change a little bit depending on who the coach is and what their emphasis is going to be, what they actually value more. Some coaches are going to value one more than the other. Number one is winning. Most coaches got into the game before the absolute explosion in money. And they got into the game in part because they're really competitive people. They like the game and they like to win. And the other thing is winning is tied to number two. And number two is money. You make more money when you win. And money makes winning more possible, generally. So what you want, when you're talking about the best programs in college football, they're going to involve some combination of the access to winning as an institutional advantage over your peers, and two, the ability to pay a lot of money. Southern Cal, in my view, is one of the four jobs in the country that is easiest for any coach to walk into and win. And when I say that, I mean not just win, you know, 9-10 games, but I'm talking about compete on a national level, compete for championships. Those four jobs, in my opinion, are the University of Texas, which in its combination of being the Texas flagship school, the branding and money and all of that, has better access to recruits and the ability to land top guys versus its peers in the Big 12, has a better advantage there than anybody else has in the country. The only teams that are close are the other three, and only programs that are close to the other three, and that's Southern Cal. Southern Cal is the program in Southern California, which is similar to South Florida in its being a football hotbed. And I thought Mike Bellotti on ESPN put it well recently when he said, listen, if you're the head coach at Southern Cal, you never have to drive outside of a 300-mile radius. You could never leave the general vicinity of Los Angeles and get all of your recruiting done and be recruiting on a national level. You'd never have to leave your car. So number one, they're right there in the midst of all of that talent, and they are the brand program for all of those kids growing up. Yeah, UCLA's in that town, but they don't have the brand and the cachet that Southern Cal does. They just don't. Southern Cal is where the really good kids go. That's just the way that it is. So you can recruit the top kids in Southern California automatically just by virtue of walking in with a Trojans shirt on, with Trojans gear. And then you get to play in the Pac-12 South, where nobody else can recruit like that. Yeah, UCLA can recruit all right, but you're recruiting against the Arizonas. There's no real talent in Arizona, and they're having to come to Southern California to catch the guys that you don't offer. Same with Utah. Utah has to come to Southern California to recruit on your territory with the guys that you didn't offer. Because if you'd offered them, they'd have gone to your place. So your one rival is UCLA. And again, they're not generally getting the guys that Southern Cal offers to a large degree. They don't win those matchups as much in recruiting just by virtue of being USC. So they're by far the number one program in that division and the marquee program in the Pac-12. Because again, where does Oregon have to go to recruit? Oregon doesn't have any top-level recruits in that state. They have to go to California to get a lot of their recruits. They got to recruit nationally. So they have a huge advantage over everybody else in the Pac-12, recruiting-wise. You could say the same thing about Ohio State. They're in a top five state in terms of producing talent. And kids who grow up in Ohio State grow up believing that it's their God-given responsibility, their mission, their call, to go play for the Buckeyes. And yes, there are some up on this, particularly in the northern part of the state, there is some divided loyalty where some of those guys will go to Michigan. There is loyalty to Michigan and Ohio among that group. So Michigan is, you know, just a tick behind in that regard. And Michigan can actually probably recruit a little bit better nationally than Ohio State. In each of these programs, you know, in terms of Tennessee having a counter, it's Oklahoma. Oklahoma can step into Texas and recruit head-to-head at just slightly a level below Texas, but Texas still has the edge. Same thing with Ohio State and Michigan. They've got a little bit, you know, give them a slight edge over Michigan in that regard. UCLA, well, they can recruit, but they can't quite recruit with Southern Cal. And the same is true, actually, I think, for Florida State. They're one of the four programs where it's easiest to win on a national scale. And that's because when you look at Florida State, who's their competition in their own conference? It's Clemson. Clemson, to be successful, has to pull talent out of the state of Florida. They have to go onto Florida and Florida State's home turf and Georgia's home turf, and they've got to go out and they've got to win those players from those home turf places. And so when you're looking at Florida State in its own division, it is by far the preeminent program. And in terms of the ACC, there's nobody in the ACC that has any business recruiting with Florida State outside of Miami, and Miami has other issues that prevent them from doing that at this point. So that's one of the other four. My general theory is that coaches don't jump for jobs within the same tier. So you don't see a coach going from, say, Texas to Southern Cal, absent some other really good reasons, family reasons or institutional tie where you've got an alma mater or something like that. You don't see coaches jumping from one tier to the next. You see coaches moving up a tier. So just with that, I don't think Jimbo Fisher is any danger to bolt for a Southern Cal. And the main reason for that, by the way, is not just the tier issue. And Florida State does not have the same ability to in terms of money and facilities and so on, to keep up as Southern Cal. But they're going to do what's necessary to compete. And that, by the way, I should address. In terms of money, you hear people talking about how, you know, what really matters is money. Well, the reason money matters, the reason facilities matter, the reason all of those things matter is because those things give you access to getting recruits. But no matter how good the facilities get, no matter how much money Oregon has, they're never going to be able to recruit like a Florida State simply because of geography. So that's where, again, money matters a lot. But once you get to the point where you're paying your coaches on the market level for a top program and you have market level facilities, if you have a geographical edge and an edge in terms of conference and being able to dominate your conference, which is, by the way, why you look at an Alabama. Alabama is not as good a job as Southern Cal because Alabama has to deal with LSU, Auburn in its own state, across divisional rivalry with Tennessee, Texas A&M in your division. You know, they've got a lot more other 800-pound gorillas to compete with year in, year out. So Southern Cal doesn't have to do that. Same with Texas. Texas doesn't have to do that. That's why a lot of these programs, even the top-level programs in the SEC, are not quite as good of a job. And they've also got bigger expectations in many of those jobs in terms of the fans and the demands placed on coaches' times and so on. Texas being the exception there. They put a tremendous amount of demands on ridiculous things for coaches. But that's why those SEC West jobs, that's why those SEC jobs are actually not quite as good a jobs as comparable level jobs in easier with easier roads to titles, for what it's worth. But Florida State does not have, when you're comparing within tier, Florida State does not have the ability to keep up with the facilities of Texas or Southern Cal or the salaries of Texas or Southern Cal if those programs really want to outbid Florida State on that. So that's true. But the kicker that Florida State has on a place like Southern Cal, when it comes to Jimbo Fisher in particular, is Jimbo is a country boy from West Virginia. Have you ever been to Los Angeles? Nice place to visit. But it takes a special kind of person to want to live in Los Angeles. It takes a guy who is a city guy to have that job. And that's where this other thing comes in. Those, I think, are the four best jobs in the country in terms of the easiest access to winning. But some guys are just country guys. Some guys are Southern guys. Some guys are West Coast guys. Some guys are going to fit better in one job over another. So that for some guys, the Georgia job, which may well come open after this year, is a better job. And we're going to talk more about this. I'm going to repeat myself to some degree on a different podcast later in the year. But the Georgia job, which may come open, for some coaches would be regarded as a better job than the Southern Cal job just because they wouldn't want to live in Los Angeles. Athens, Georgia is a really nice place to live if you want to live in a place where, you know, you can actually get out and be around trees instead of people. If you want to, you know, be able to drive just out into the country and hunt, which that's what Jimbo Fisher wants to do. So for a coach like Fisher, the Southern Cal job is really not all that attractive to him because he already has a more or less comparable job in terms of the ability to win. He already makes pretty good money in a state without income tax, by the way, without state income tax. Already makes good money. Already has access to winning, and he doesn't have to live as a country boy in Los Angeles. And again, that's where the culture fit matters a lot. We saw the disconnect of culture in Miami, where you had a guy in Al Golden who always looked like he was uncomfortable with the culture in Miami. He just was not a fit culturally with Miami. You have to have a guy that really fits with the culture of your program and with the culture of the surrounding area and all of that in order for it to really work, for it to click with the program, with the team. Same reason that Nick Saban would not be as successful. Well, I'll correct that. Nick Saban would not be as comfortable at a Southern Cal as he is at Alabama. Even though the Southern Cal job, in many respects, is an easier job to win at than Alabama, Saban would rather be at a place like Alabama because Tuscaloosa is a lot more comfortable for he and Terry. They're country people much more than they're city people. They hated it when they were down in Miami for the Dolphins. Hated Miami. A guy like Saban is not a good fit for a place like Southern Cal. Same way with Jimbo Fisher. He's a good fit for a place like Tallahassee where he can drive out and be in the boondocks of South Georgia or, you know, Northwest Florida in the panhandle and go hunting or fishing anytime he wants. Whereas, you know, in Los Angeles, he's going to be a fish out of water. Not an attractive job for him. Now, that Georgia job, should it open, is far more of a threat. If that job comes open, we'll have this discussion again. And I don't think Jimbo Fisher would take that job either, necessarily. But it's one that he'd at least think about. It's one that he'd have to go, well, it's a nice place to live. It's comparable. But at that point, you have to decide, do I really want to have to go and rebuild some other things when I've already got a lot of the pieces in place that I want here? I've already fought the institutional battles I needed to fight here. I've got a pretty good setup. And, you know, I already like where I live, so why would I trade all that in to go for the SEC East as opposed to the ACC Atlantic? What reason would he have to do that? But that's a bridge we may cross a little bit later in the year. The jobs to me that if they open, you have to worry about in terms of Jimbo Fisher are Texas. If Texas would ever offer Jimbo Fisher, and LSU. I think those two jobs, and I think LSU less so now that given the separation and impending divorce between he and Candy, which I'm still really sorry to see. But those two jobs are the jobs that I think would really make Fisher think. And it'd be hard for anyone to turn down that Texas job at any job, you know, regardless of what job you're in. I mean, heck, Texas made Nick Saban think, moving from Alabama to Texas. So that to me is those are the two jobs you'd have to worry about. I think if Alabama came calling, he'd probably think about it. I think he'd be less likely to take the Alabama job than the LSU or the Texas jobs. But again, he'd have to think about it. My guess is that if the Alabama job ended up opening, the most likely hire for them would end up actually being Dabo Swinney, believe it or not. But I think maybe their first phone call would be Jimbo Fisher. And it's Alabama, you probably have to listen. Again, Tuscaloosa for Jimbo Fisher is going to be much more attractive. Baton Rouge, much more attractive. Austin, much more attractive than, say, Los Angeles. And that's a factor that you have to take into account is where is the coach from? What's his cultural background? Where does he like to live? What's he looking for in addition to just the coaching job? Because objectively, you can tier these things up, but it is gonna vary a little bit coach to coach. All right, that's going to do it for us today here on the Unconquered Podcast. Once again, I want to remind you that you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. Please subscribe and rate this podcast. Rate it and give us good reviews on iTunes and elsewhere, wherever you subscribe to your podcasts. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. We're going to have Unconquered t-shirts out here before too long, so keep an ear to the ground for that. You can also follow Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports, and make sure to catch our next podcast, which will preview the NC State Florida State game from this weekend. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of East Porto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.